The arrangements for Rick Sermon's mother's visitation and funeral are as follows. We'll do a calling post, so you don't have to make notes, and we'll put it out in the bulletin. The visitation, and her name is Virginia Sermon. The visitation will be Thursday from 5 until 7 at the Laughlin Service Funeral Home in Huntsville, Alabama. And the graveside will be, the funeral will be a graveside at 11 o'clock on Friday morning at the Maple Hill Cemetery. And wanted you to be aware of that. And we will do a calling post and have further announcements about it as we go through. A verse that's often used at different times of the year, usually in reference, I guess I notice it more often than any other time when we're having a senior banquet or our young people are graduating. But it's Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. We're going to eventually go to that. But while I put up the screen, I'm going to put up the verse. And I'll put the verse up in just a second. But you can be making your way, if you would like, to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'd like for you to take a look at the context in which this verse is written and the context that surrounds it. And really my dream, my idea and my thought tonight was just to kind of let our imaginations go wild a little bit, confined by what we know and what God tells us. And I hope that I had a lot of fun thinking about the lesson, and I hope you have fun thinking about it tonight as well. Jeremiah chapter 29 is a letter that Jeremiah writes. Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem, and this is after the captivity has occurred. And Jeremiah will stay there until Jerusalem is destroyed, and he will write the book of Lamentations as he walks the street of Jerusalem in its total destruction. But the first group of those who would be taken by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, have already been taken out of the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel are already gone. And a number of other people are gone as well. And God has Jeremiah to write a letter to those individuals who are in exile. And he tells them, build houses, plant gardens, raise your gardens, marry, have your children to marry, raise families, increase, do not decrease, pray for the well-being of your city, and work for the well-being of your city. Because if your city has well-being, so will you. And well-being carries with it the idea of peace. And if the place where you live is at peace and you are working for it and you are praying for it, then you will have peace as well. The prophets of God, prior to this event, were considered traitors to the nation of Israel. And the reason they were considered traitors to the nation of Israel is because there were prophets, false prophets, among the people of Israel who said, God wants us to fight. And God will cause us to be victorious. He does not want us to give in. He wants us to fight to the very last man to save the temple and to save the city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah and other faithful prophets would say, that's not true. God says the only way that you can be saved is to go into exile. Because the exile is going to occur. And what you are to do is to go into that exile. And in going into that exile, live in peace, build houses, buy houses, buy land, raise gardens, raise your family, pray for the peace of the place where you are living, and live and work toward the peace for the place where you're living. Some of those false prophets are still with the children of Israel who've gone into exile. And in this letter that Jeremiah writes, he names them. And he tells the children of Israel who were in exile to not listen to them and pay no attention to them, because every one of them are going to be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar is going to bring to an end all of them, because they are not saying what God has said to be said. They are speaking out of their own mouth. They're speaking out of their own thoughts, and they're not at all saying what God would have them to say. And it's in the middle of this context that this verse is written. And the Bible will tell us, when God writes this letter through Jeremiah to the children of Israel, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, if you were to think about that verse, and you were to contemplate that verse and the meaning of it, and this is a letter from Jeremiah, what do you hope the plans include? And this is where the imagination goes. When God says, "I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future," what do you hope those plans include? And I like to kind of do this in a twofold thing. I'd like to do it imagining our life here for this next year, or for as long as God allows us to live here. And then I would like for us to go ahead and jump ahead into that next life, into that life where we will live in that new heaven and that new earth. And here's what I know is going to happen if we think about this correctly. That it doesn't matter how wide we might dream, or how big we might have for what we would want the plans to be for us, then if you step away from what you want for you and just take a look at what God has for you, you don't come anywhere close. For instance, suppose we're all 16 years old, 15 years old, and this year in 2017, we turn 16. And we think about getting our license. And a little differently than it was when most of us were growing up, you think about getting a vehicle, a car. We won't go into comparison, but just we get a vehicle. In your wildest imaginations, if you could have the transportation of your choice, what would it be? And just let your mind go. Now, what plans would God have for you with regard to that transportation? He would want you to drive to be safe for others, to be safe for yourself, to be safe for those that are passengers with you, and to be safe for those that are on the road with you. He would want you to drive to honor Him by honoring the laws of the land. He would want you to drive without anger toward others that share the road with you. He would want you to ride with calmness. He would want you to ride with respect. He would want you to ride with an attitude of patience and understanding toward others who are on the road with you. But then when I really get to have fun, what's transportation going to be like in heaven? Are we going to fly? Or will we go from place to place just by thought? What does God have in mind for us? How do the angels travel when they're in heaven with God and boom, there they are? How did you get here? What spaceship are you traveling in? And what will travel be like in heaven? And no matter how much we dream about what we would like, we have no idea how much greater and different things are going to be in heaven. What do you want for yourself in 2017? Health? To have good health? To have a year where there are no problems, where there's no peace? Suppose God's plans are, I want you to show what it's like to belong to me and to be sick. I want you to show what it's like to belong to me and to be in poor health. I want you to show what it's like to belong to me and to face death and to deal with death. I want you to show how those who understand my promises and my hopes live in the light of such things. The Apostle Paul prayed something like that. He had a problem. He called it a thorn in the flesh. We don't know if it was his eyes, but whatever it was, it seems that it at least appeared to him to be a hindrance in doing the work that he wanted to accomplish. And he must have felt like he could do so much more if this was just removed. So he asked God 3 times to take it away, and God finally told him, don't ask anymore. Because in your weakness, my strength is shown. And Paul, when he understood what was happening, and when he understood what was being done through his weakness, he said, then I rejoiced in my weakness, so that the strength of God could be shown and could be demonstrated. But what do you want for health? Do you know heaven? Wonder how old you'll look like in heaven. That's bothered me since I was a kid. What age am I going to look like? But you see, everything for me about heaven ties in with the physical. And what if it's to the point that this physical world is no longer even in my memory? That I am different, changed into the likeness of Jesus in heaven, and changed into not a physical temporary body, but a spiritual eternal body. What's that body going to be like? And God tells us there'll be no aging, there'll be no weakness, there'll be no diminishing of strength. There will be no need for things because God will supply everything. And no matter how far my imagination might go in this plan for what I hope God is going to give me, it doesn't come anywhere close to what He has in mind. What about relationships? We all struggle with them, don't we? But suppose we advance to heaven, and what about the relationships there? I got a little tickled yesterday. Was it yesterday? Today's Sunday? No, it was Friday. Time flies when you're having fun, you know. It was Friday we took our grandkids, 3 of them, to Monkey Joe's. If you've never been to Monkey Joe's in Nashville, consider yourself fortunate. No, that's not the case. You could go and enjoy it, but it's for little kids. It's a bouncing place where they love to take your parents' or your grandparents' money, and the kids just go in and bounce up and down. And Lola was excited about going, and she wanted to go, and she was ready to get into the jump things and jump up and down. And Corinne was excited about going until we walked through the door. And when we walked through the door, Corinne saw all those other kids and she panicked and froze. And she had to watch Lola through a couple of times and Lola take her hand and get her in. And once she got started, then she was fine. But those other people just freaked her out. And Zane, the little two-year-old, wouldn't go in at all. And he decided, after we finished building blocks and tearing them down, that the best thing they had to offer was a tractor that cost a quarter to ride. He just kept wanting to ride that tractor. And that was his way of bouncing. But can you imagine relationships? You have trouble meeting people here? Do you wish you could be accepted? Do you wish, if somebody once told me, do you know how great it is for somebody to know everything there is to know about you, and they still love you, and they still appreciate you? Can you imagine being in a place where everybody knows everything there is to know about you, and they still love you, and they still appreciate you, and they still want you? Can you imagine the relationships in heaven, where every single one of us are brothers and sisters in Christ, and every single one of us are known to be loved by God and by Jesus? And because we are loved by them, we all love each other. And there is no stranger. There is no one we don't know. We are this family that God has brought together. And we have these relationships that are to the point where you can walk up to anyone, no matter who they are, and talk with them as if you're talking to the only friend you have in the world, because everybody will be just like that. And no matter what it is I think about and I want in my relationships, when I think about what God has in store for me, it's absolutely nothing compared to anything I can imagine, nor anything that I can dream. What about wealth? How much is enough? When would you get to the point where you would say, and just one more dollar? How much is enough? Can you imagine in heaven being God's child? To where everything that he imagines and he speaks comes into existence. Can you imagine the wealth of God himself? Beyond anything we can think of, and anything we can imagine, and anything we can dream of, you imagine heaven. And so God writes this: I know the plans I have for you. We don't know them. The apostles didn't know them. The apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 to sum it up. To sum up the ideas and the thoughts with regard to this plan that God has for us, not only here, but also eternally. We read it this morning, we read it again tonight in connection with this verse as we go into this new year. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To the one that does that for us. This is the nature of the plans that he has for us. It's beyond anything you can ask for. It's beyond anything you can think about. Beyond anything you can imagine. And to the one that can give all that, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. In 2017, let's fall in love with our God and let's come to know him. And let's come to know the power that is not limited by our thoughts. And the power that is not limited by what we ask. And the power that is available to all of us when we serve him and when we love him. And let's be that people and relish in the joy of the place to where we're going, where God will fulfill all His plans and hopes for us. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to become a Christian? Do you need to come home to Christ? His invitation is yours as together we stand in